I call the meeting of the Wednesday, March 11th, 2026 Health, Veterans and Military Affairs Division to order. We begin our meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Representative Davis, can you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin our agenda, I want to remind everybody that the committee chair maintains control of this hearing, and I have the following expectations. Signs and placards are not permitted in the hearing room. Verbal outbursts, shouting, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated. Applause or other audible demonstrations are not allowed. For safety reasons, standing or sitting in the walkways and aisles or standing or obstructing at your chair is prohibited. If you require any accommodation, please speak to the sergeant staff. They're identified with their gold ties. Troopers and house security personnel are present to ensure everyone's safety. If you receive an entrance ticket, please retain it as it may be required for re-entry if you leave the hearing room. Failure to comply with these guidelines may result in the removal from the hearing. Representative Feist, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, Chair Bliss, and I noticed a typo.
Uh-oh. Dang it, I picked the right one, didn't I?
Under the two testifiers for Meals on Wheels for Dave Collings, we put Meal on Wheels.
Oh.
So we should definitely update that or we'll be very confused in the future. But otherwise, I move the minutes.
Move the amended minutes. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
And the motion carries. The first bill on our agenda is House File 3727, Vice Chair Olson. Do you have testifiers? You do. Go ahead and would you like to move House File 3727 before the division with a recommendation that it's re-referred to taxes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be my motion, and I have an author's amendment as well.
All right. Vice Chair Olson moves the A1 amendment. Please describe your amendment.
So this amendment would just change some of the numbers. You've seen this bill in its current language running around this place for a little while. House File 3727 talks about an exclusion for homestead property values for disabled veterans at $200,000 and then $400,000. That would be to change the one that the legislature passed in 2008, so 18 years ago. The author's amendment would just increase that from $200,000 to $225,000 and then from $400,000 to $450,000. And I'll get into the explanation of that during my actual presentation, Mr. Chair.
All in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Please have your, oh, let's go ahead and to your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill here, as amended, is the latest attempt to address this ever-growing gap between the exclusion amounts and home values under the Disabled Veterans Homestead Property Tax Exclusion. For those of you who don't, most of us weren't around here. I don't think anyone here was around in 2008 when the state legislature passed the original homestead exclusion, which at the time...
Vice Chair, could you hold on? Thank you for taking the time to join us today, Representative Duran. It's nice to see you. Continue on, please.
It's always, Mr. Chair, it's always really, really sad when the soldiers in the room are late to class.
We'll discuss push-ups and
push-ups at a later date, Mr. Chair. Service member, so sorry. Former service member. We'll continue. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So for those who don't remember, the legislature in 2008 passed this bill originally excluding property tax values for individuals who had a disability rating of at least 70%. There was one level at 70%, and then there was another level at 100% disability rating. A disability rating in the United States military comes obviously through injuries or disabilities obtained during their service or as a result of their service. For those who are not currently aware, a 70% disability rating through the United States military results in a $1,764.36 check a month. So these individuals who are 70% disabled are getting $1,764.36 per month. When you're talking about the rising cost of property tax, when you're talking about being on a fixed income, I think $1,700, we can all agree is a fixed income. It goes up a little bit more when you have dependents, when you're 90% disabled. My cousin fought and was injured in Iraq in 2007. He was 90% disabled for almost 20 years. He finally got his 100% disability rating just a couple months ago. But he was living off of $2,362.30 per month. And for those of you who are not aware, if you are working, if you are in a working capacity on top of this, it does affect your disability check. So it's not like it's just free gravy on top of what you're able to earn. So they do, it does shift, it does change as a result of that. Now, members, what we're asking here, and the reason for the amendment is, if you have not been watching, home values have increased, but also inflation has increased over the past couple of years. And so we're looking to try and equalize the value of your home with what it would be if we had continued going on. So in 2008, if your house was worth X amount, now it would be worth this amount. So that's where the evaluation comes in. Because if you had a house, so a $300,000 house in 2008, the equivalent purchasing power today is $462,268.33. So $300,000 almost 20 years ago is worth $463,000 in purchasing power. That's pretty crazy when you think about how little, how our money has kind of degraded in value, maybe a little concerning. And $150,000 in 2008 is currently worth $231,134.17. So the reason for this amendment would be to put us back in line to give these service members, these veterans, these disabled veterans, the ability to kind of recoup the purchasing power that they would have had and to offset any of that homestead exclusion that they're missing and that they've been paying the gap for many, many years. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I would be pleased to take testifiers or any discussion.
All right, I have Stephen Whitehead and John Walker, if you could come up at the table. And then after that, Larry Fonder, after these testifiers. And go ahead and just state your name and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair. Fellow committee members, my name is Stephen Whitehead. I'm the adjutant for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and I want to thank Representative Olson and this committee for hearing this bill today. Representative Olson did a great job of explaining why this is important. You know, 18 years since it last adjusted. This isn't a first time before you either. You know, we've been fighting for this for several years, and we are very appreciative of this committee moving it out of your committee to the next level. Each and every year, I'm very appreciative of that, and we're hoping that this year it finally gets across the finish line. A couple of things I want to highlight. You know, this bill that we're highlighting is our severely injured veterans that we're trying to take care of, the ones that are 70% and higher. These are the veterans that are most likely not able to work, and if so, at a less amount of being able to put many hours in. And they're also getting up there in age. These veterans have suffered for years and years and years, and they have lived on this fixed income. Our veterans are living in their homes longer today. And, you know, you think about what is that number of veterans that were that are 70% or higher. So using the Minnesota Department of Revenue, and ran some numbers, just under 28,000 veterans here in Minnesota are 70% or higher. So the number of veterans we're really trying to are truly dialed in and helping those that are severely injured. The continued message that we're hearing from across the state is the impact it has on counties, okay, and how the county is carrying the burden. Well, when you use that data that we pulled from Minnesota Department of Revenue, the highest county that receives the biggest impact is 1.51%. That's the impact it carries on that county. That county has estimated market value of $4,742,144. Those are what they bring, okay? So 71 of that is 1.5% of the impact. It is the rural areas that we're having the biggest impact. Here in the metro counties, you know, the five or seven counties, depends on what you want to use as a metro county, the values of the houses have gone up the most. In the rural Minnesota, the values have gone up, but not at the same rate as here in the metro. A rural veterans, this would have the biggest impact, getting this passed, to be really truly having a big impact. It would have a huge impact on the metro veterans as well, But again, the value has gone up, but it would have a large, large impact on the rural veterans that are out there really suffering. They don't have the resources that we do here in the metro. I want to note that this bill is supported by the Commander's Task Force. We fully support this. We appreciate the amendment. When we first got this and we saw that and the amendment came out yesterday, we really appreciate the amendment, Representative, to truly show that we're trying to get back in line where it should be. We're not asking for this increase just because we're wanting an increase. This is just getting us back in line with what that value of that dollar was. It should be, 18 years to now, and I think Representative Olson nailed it, highlighting that this is what the value of the dollar is today. We think about the constant battle that our veterans are fighting each and every day when it comes to putting food on the table, paying their mortgage, paying all this stuff. Veterans are actually having to sometimes go get refinance their mortgage and all that to continue to pay the bills because everything is getting expensive. And by doing this increase and getting that, this will help these veterans be able to put food on the table, maybe help pay their bills without having to go get a loan and things like that. So we appreciate this committee. We really appreciate the representative. And, as I started this conversation off, I can't thank this committee enough to continue to move forward. But we need your help outside this room as well. We need the help from this committee to ensure that both parties, I really don't care who carries the bill or not. We want this bill passed, period. We need this bill passed. And it's time, and the time is now. Chair, that completes my
thank you. And Mr. Walker, and then if Larry Fonder could sit at the table. And then after that is Janet Lorenzo on deck. So state your name and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, John Walker. I'm the department commander for the Department of Minnesota, United States Army veteran. As a commander of the Department of Minnesota, I hear quite often from my veterans on how they're struggling. Property tax is one of the huge things that they always mention that I'm getting further and further behind. And when we look at, like Adjutant Whitehead just said, when we look at the data, the numbers have not changed. We have not kept up with inflation or any metrics to keep our veterans, disability pay somewhat stable in that so we can keep them at home. This is huge for our Minnesota veterans. Our Minnesota veterans are always called upon. And I think it would really help them to stay in their homes, to keep their properties so they don't have to make a tough decision on getting rid of the family property, maybe the property, the only property they were able to acquire. So we really ask your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you could sit down and Janet come up to the table after Mr. Fonder and go ahead and state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Larry Fonder, and I am the legislative representative of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. I'm an Army veteran, and I too am also a County Veteran Service Officer. First, I would like to acknowledge and thank the authors of the bill, so Representative Olson, Duran, Berryman. I greatly appreciate moving this bill forward. This bill shows that legislators care about veterans, and it's also an opportunity for Minnesotans to help veterans stay in their homes. That is something that County Veteran Service Officers face on a routine basis, is homelessness for veterans. And this is a bill that can help keep veterans in their homes. As a CVSO, my relationship isn't only with the veteran. So when I meet with a veteran, I maximize their benefits and keep them in their home. When that veteran dies, I then transfer the relationship to the surviving spouse and ensure that the surviving spouse and help them to bury their veteran and then to maximize their benefits and qualify for them for benefits and keep them in their home. And I want to illustrate where the current law fails the surviving spouse. And let me be clear, our organization wholly supports this bill and want to see it move forward. What I'm doing is setting the groundwork for future considerations for updating the law and modernizing it to help our surviving spouses, because I feel an obligation to raise the voice of the surviving spouse. So I'll illustrate it with a few scenarios. So one, if you are a soldier overseas and you're killed in war, a Minnesota soldier overseas, active duty, killed in war, if your surviving spouse doesn't file for the tax benefit within 2 years of your death, you don't get the benefit. If you're married to a Marine that dies in an Osprey accident in North Carolina, and you've got small kids and decide, you know what, I'm moving back to Minnesota where my family is and I can get more help, you don't qualify for the tax exemption. If the veteran and a spouse move into assisted living and the veteran passes away and the spouse does not need assisted living and they decide to purchase a new home and move out of assisted living, they don't qualify for the benefit. The way that the statute is written, the veteran, when they die, has to be on the homestead. So if they're not on that homestead, it doesn't apply. Same thing, a veteran moves, say, they get this benefit in another state, and they decide, you know what, Minnesota is where I'm going to move to. They don't qualify for the benefit. So these are considerations that I think need to be looked at for future modernization of this statute. Again, fully support this bill going forward. We want to see that happen because that's going to make an immediate difference. And I just want to end with capturing the spirit and the intent of this law, which is buried in paragraph 11 of the statute. And it says the purpose and provision of this law is to provide surviving spouses and help them to ease the burdens of war for those among our state's citizens who bear those burdens most heavily. The veteran bears the burden, and I would argue that the surviving spouse bears an extreme burden afterward. Once again, our organization fully supports this going forward, and I think it's going to help keep veterans in their home, and it demonstrates that legislators care about Minnesota veterans. And I look forward to walking forward on the path with you for future adjustments to help modernize the bill for surviving spouses. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Lorenzo, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Janet Lorenzo. I am the Assistant Adjutant for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. Thank you, Chair Bliss, and distinguished committee members for your attention today. It has been 18 years since the Minnesota legislature last adjusted the property value threshold for the disabled value Veterans Homestead Market Value Exclusion. During this time, property values have continued to increase, which undermines the original purpose of this benefit. Currently, veterans with a VA disability rating of 70 to 100% receive a market value exclusion of $150,000. For veterans rated 100% permanent and total, receive a set amount of $300,000 for the American Legion Department of Minnesota advocates for an increase to these levels, proposing $200,000 for the first category and $400,000 for the second category. Again, that's 70% to 100%. House File 3727 addresses this important issue, and we urge support for this bill to better serve our disabled veterans. Some opponents of increasing this disabled veterans homestead market value exclusion argue that it would result in billions of dollars in lost property tax revenue for the government. However, history shows us that this tactic has been used repeatedly in previous sessions. By changing tax figures across 87 counties, 329 school districts, or 854 municipalities, it is easy to present a misleading narrative. For context, counties generate over $1 trillion in property taxes, making a potential $5 billion impact negligible, less than 0.5% of the total. Additionally, allowing veterans to remain in their homes longer significantly enhances their quality of life and benefits their communities. Being part of a familiar environment supports their well-being and fosters connections, which is often a more positive outcome than living in a VA home. Veterans have made immense sacrifices for our nation's safety and security. We advocate for an increase in the disabled veterans' homestead market value exclusion to honor their contributions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the testifiers or the bill author? All right. Any closing remarks, Vice Chair Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just stop. I'll end with one story. I was speaking with a veteran who's severely disabled. He had lost, he'd stepped on a mine in Afghanistan. He's a young man, lost both of his legs and significant ability of one of his arms. And he told me, he says, Representative Olson, I am reminded of my service every single day. He says, it feels to me as though the state of Minnesota has forgotten about me. And we have. It's been 18 years. We have forgotten about the service of our veterans. I have not. Will we continue to forget as a legislature about the vast services that have been rendered to these individuals who wake up every morning and are reminded of their service? I hope we don't. And I hope that as we did on the House floor a couple years ago, we can make a resounding green board and actually get it across the finish line this time. I stood on the House floor with a unanimous vote for an amendment to add this to the tax bill, and I said, when you vote green, this means that you're not just accepting it today, you are fighting for it in the future. So as we pass this out of committee, if you say aye, my hope is that you will continue the fight to push it down the road to ensure that we make this happen this legislative session. The time is now. It was many years ago, but now is the time. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Olson renews his motion that House File 3727, as amended, is recommended to be re-referred to the Taxes Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries, and is House File 3727 is referred to Taxes. The next bill is House File 3684. That's my bill. Vice Chair Olson, please state the gavel.
All right, Chair Bliss, would you like to move House File 3684 before the division with a recommendation that it be re-referred to the General Register?
Thank you, Chair Olson. That is my motion.
It's my understanding you have a delete all amendment as well?
I do. Do we move that now?
Yeah, please.
Okay, the D3 amendment reflects an ongoing work with the MBVA to put this bill in the shape that the department prefers.
Any discussion on this amendment? Oh, Mr. Chair?
That's fine. Let's see. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. All in favor of adopting the DE3 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion carries. The amendment is adopted. Chair Bliss, would you please describe your bill as amended by the DE3 amendment?
House File 3684 will help ensure the money the legislature appropriates to the organizations seeking the funding to help Minnesota veterans actually help the veterans they intend to serve. I've been working on this bill with the Department of Veteran Affairs for a while because I have seen instances during my tenure here at the legislature where money has been appropriated to a nonprofit that the MBVA has withheld because the nonprofit had some issues. As Vice Chair Olson said last week, we don't trust every state agency, but we do trust the integrity of the MDVA. And the governor recently recommended as part of his anti-fraud package that grants go through the RFP process. The Legislative Auditor Office has also recommended doing away with the legislatively named grants for nearly 20 years. That's the goal of this bill. Although I think it's a good approach to appropriate funds to the MBVA and have them determine who receives the money, my bill both includes competitive grants as well as named grants because I don't want to completely take away the legislature's ability to provide direct grants. I will now explain the language of the bill as amended with the DE3 and then turn it over to my testifier from the MDVA. The bill restricts eligibility to grants to Minnesota nonprofits who have been operating for at least 5 years, are in good standing with the Attorney General's office, and have a current federal tax form 990 on file. The grants must be paid only to be used for Minnesota veterans, active service members, or Minnesota residents stationed in Minnesota.
or stationed in Minnesota, immediate family members, including those of deceased members, veterans who died in the line of duty. Priority and grant funding is given to veterans with service-connected disability. The Department of Veterans Affairs will use a scoring system to evaluate grantees based on their demonstrated history of serving Minnesota veterans. Importantly, the MDVA may withhold grants if the grantee has committed fraud or is under criminal investigation and has conducted itself in less than a reputable manner or is incapable of delivering the required services. Each grantee must support a report annually to the MDVA, a summary of the grant, the number of veterans, active service members, and their family members served by the grant, and measurable outcomes of the grant. The MDVA is then required to summarize this information provided to the grantees and report the information to the legislature. The fiscal note came back on this bill with no costs. The bill excludes grants through the Support Our Troops account from specialty license plates, veteran service office grants, veteran service organization grants, since they each have their own statutory grant requirements. I would like to now turn it over to Dave Bellefoyle, Chief of Staff of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I hope I pronounced that name correctly.
Thank you, Chair. Common spelling on my last name. So, good morning, Chair and members. For the record, my name is Dave Bellefoyle. I serve as the agency Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I oversee our central office operations, and included in that is our grants management team. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of HF 3684, a bill that sets standards for the use of competitive grants issued by the department. We are grateful for the collaborative approach Chair Bliss took with the department when drafting this bill. The bill before you, as amended, reflects agency feedback and suggested changes. This bill is an additional step we can take as a state to ensure grant dollars allocated for veterans are going to veterans, and more specifically, Minnesota veterans and their families. The residency requirements in this bill align with our residency requirements throughout our programs in chapters. You'll find in chapters 196, 197, and 198. We also want to make it clear, as Chair Bliss mentioned, that this does not impact our County Veteran Service Officer, our Veteran Service Officer, or our Support Our Troops grants. We will continue to administer those as we have historically. Thank you again for the opportunity to support and testify on this bill this morning.
Are there any questions for the chair or the testifier? Seeing none, Mr. Chair, closing remarks.
Thank you for your support.
Perfect. Chair Bliss renews his motion that House File 3684, as amended, is re-referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The motion carries. House File 3684 is re-referred to the General Register.
First one.
The next bill on our agenda is House File 3467. Representative Ray Rauer, please come to the testifier table with your testifier.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Members, we heard this bill last week and we had some concerns with the language of the bill, so Chair Zhang laid it over so we could work on it with the MDVA to address those concerns, and I will now move the bill back before the division. And I would also like to move the A1 amendment that clarifies that MDVA may move non-monetary resources within the agency. The Senate also had some concerns that the language allowing MDVA to move food insecurity, homelessness, and suicide prevention and other critical issues was too broad. So the A1 amendment also removes "and other critical issues." All in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries and the A1 is adopted. Representative Ray Rauer, would you like to move that House File 3467 as amended is recommended to be referred to the General Register?
I would, Chair. Thank you.
Representative Ray Rauer, please refresh the vision on your bill and have your testifier identify himself and begin his testimony.
Absolutely. Thank you. So House File 3467 provides that clear statutory authority for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to collaborate with other organizations that support our state's veterans. And thank you so much for describing the amendment. It's basically tightening up the language, making sure that it is non-monetary, and just making sure the scope is very specific. So with that, I think you heard enough about it last time.
Please state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Bliss. My name is Cole Trace. I am the Government Affairs Liaison for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and thank you, Representative Rehauer, for authoring the bill. As has been said, we do support the amendment before you. This proposal was always meant to use MDVA's non-monetary resources in future partnerships. Thanks to the collaboration of the legislative process, we have tighter language that will explicitly say that. And if there are other emergent issues, we will come back to the legislature for future updates. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Representative Rehauer or her testifier? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Rehauer.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you to the members of the committee. Appreciate your support on the bill.
Representative Rehauer renews her motion that House File 3467, as amended, is recommended to be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. And motion carries. House File 3467 is re-referred to the General Register.
Thank you.
The final agenda item on the day is a presentation by the Department of Veterans Affairs for their suicide prevention report. With veteran suicide continuing to be a challenge and veterans still taking their own life at an average of 100 Minnesotans a year, the House was able to include an additional appropriation in the Veterans Omnibus Bill for MDVA to intensify its work in the veteran suicide prevention. The additional appropriation required MDVA to develop a comprehensive plan to prevent Minnesota veterans from dying by suicide. MDVA recently released this report. Here today to present the report is Rachel Johnson, Veterans Community Health Director for the MDVA. Ms. Johnson, we have a report with your materials. Please begin your presentation.
All right. Thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Rachel Johnson. As mentioned, I'm the Director of Veterans Community Health here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. While I did not serve personally, I am part of a military family. My husband serves in the Minnesota National Guard and is a veteran. I want to acknowledge that our Veterans Community Health team is here today as well. The progress we're discussing represents a collected effort across many dedicated professionals and partners. Today, I'll provide a brief overview of our Veterans Community Health work, our veteran suicide prevention strategy, and how Minnesota is building a coordinated statewide system to better support veterans and their families. At the center of our work is a very simple but powerful message. Veterans should know they are not alone, help is available, healing is possible, and there is a pathway to care. Everything you will hear today, programs, partnerships, and funding investments exist to make the statement real for every veteran in Minnesota. Our current plan and system development are how we operationalize that vision. Over the past year, we have intentionally built the infrastructure needed to move from isolated programs to a coordinated statewide system. With legislative support, Veterans Community Health has expanded suicide prevention, leadership, clinical consultation, data analytics capacity, veteran health navigators, and regional community coordination. A major milestone has been expanding our regional coordinators to strengthen rural outreach and reduce duplication of services. We also are expanding the Veteran Health Navigator program into non-VA healthcare systems to implement veteran identification, helping ensure veterans are recognized early and connected to the right care so they do not fall through the gaps between systems. The Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention Collaborative serves as the backbone of statewide veteran-focused coordination. It is our mission to connect organizations, partners, communities, so our collective work produces measurable impact. Through the collaborative, we are aligning goals and strategies, improving coordination across agencies, increasing statewide visibility and advocacy, strengthening data, sharing outcomes and measurements, and creating long-term sustainability. This ensures suicide prevention is not owned by one agency, but it becomes a shared statewide responsibility. This slide highlights how we are building a coordinated prevention system across Minnesota. Suicide prevention does not begin in a clinic. It begins in communities where veterans live, gather, and build connection. Over the past year, we have focused on expanding prevention efforts beyond traditional settings and meeting veterans where they already are. A major advancement is the implementation of a multidisciplinary veteran suicide mortality review. This is a pilot in Hennepin County. This work brings together public health, the VA, National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Health, and community partners to understand not only how death occurs, but where systems can improve. The goal is prevention through learning, using data, and to prevent future loss. Our Veteran Suicide Prevention Plan is intentionally designed as a living, working framework. It guides coordinated action while allowing us to adapt as new data, evidence, and veteran feedback emerges. This is not a static report. It is an implementation roadmap. Why this work matters is simple. As mentioned, Minnesota continues to lose 100 veterans each year to suicide. Behind every number is a family, a community, and a life of service. Our goal is to move from crisis response to early prevention and connection. Our data helps us understand where prevention efforts should focus. Minnesota trends mirror national findings. Firearms remain the primary mechanism of veteran suicide, and factors such as physical health challenges, mental health concerns, bereavement, and unemployment often intersect. This tells us suicide prevention must extend beyond healthcare alone and include community connection, economic stability, and coordinated supported systems. The Veteran Suicide Prevention Plan was developed in response to legislative direction to build a coordinated statewide approach. The plan aligns with the Minnesota State Suicide Prevention Plan, the VA National Strategy, the Governor's Challenge Framework, and recommendations from the Wilder Research. This ensures state investments support a unified strategy rather than isolated efforts, strengthening accountability and long-term impact. The plan's goals establish a clear roadmap for prevention. We focus on building infrastructure, strengthening prevention capacity, improving early identification, expanding access to care, supporting communities after loss, and using data to guide decisions. Together, these goals move Minnesota from individual programs towards a comprehensive prevention system. Preventing veteran suicide requires sustained commitment. The plan uses a phased timeline that allows us to scale efforts responsibly, evaluate outcomes, and adapt based on what we learn. This approach supports continuous improvement while maintaining long-term accountability to veterans and their families. Preventing veteran suicide requires a sustained statewide system, ensuring every veteran can access support early, easily, and without falling through service gaps. Our work focuses on building that system, not as a single program. The Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention Collaborative is helping turn our Veteran Suicide Prevention Plan into action. We are bringing partners together around shared priorities, improving data and accountability, and expanding coordination into rural communities. Together, this work is moving Minnesota towards a coordinated statewide system that better supports our veterans and prevents suicide. Looking ahead into 2026, we are focused on scaling prevention efforts, improving access to care, and strengthening coordination across Minnesota. This includes expanding transition support, increasing engagement with younger veterans, improving education and navigation of benefits, and using crisis intercept mapping to better understand where veterans encounter barriers. These efforts help us reach veterans early, strengthen community connection, and reduce risk before a crisis occurs. Our goal is to meet veterans where they are and connect them to the support before challenges become a crisis. Legislative funding is directly translated into measurable system improvements. Investments have supported regional coordination across Minnesota, expanded rural training and outreach, growth in veteran health navigator model, expansion of suicide mortality reviews, stronger education and reporting infrastructure. These investments reduce risk, improve access, and strengthen outcomes for our veterans and their families. In closing, preventing veteran suicide requires more than individual programs. It requires a coordinated system built through partnership, data, and sustained commitment. Minnesota is making meaningful progress by strengthening prevention, improving access to care, and working collaboratively across communities and systems to support veterans and their families. We are grateful for the partnerships and the continued support that make this work possible, and we remain committed to ensure every veteran knows they are not alone, help is available, healing is possible, and there is a pathway to care. Thank you, and I welcome any questions or comments.
Are there any questions for the testifiers? Representative Duran?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How much are you guys actually coordinate with local law enforcement? Because when we start seeing these guys go down to the path of suicide, we see that self-destruction process happening right away. And then they're usually involved with local law enforcement right away. And then we kind of can see the consistent behavior with that. And then, you know, they ultimately take their own life. Are we working with local law enforcement to help maybe identify these people right away before that path starts going? And then, you know, getting these guys the services right away. Are we working with our local law enforcement?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. So they are on our list to be working with. We are starting that relationship through our suicide mortality review with Hennepin County. We've had some really good conversations with the coroner's office and along with their wanting to also provide a commissioner there, and we're looking at the law enforcement with that. The other side of that too is as we are building out our regional connections in rural Minnesota with our outreach coordinators, justice involved has been a focus as well of how can we get deeper into those to be able to build those relationships with law enforcement.
Representative Duran, more.
Yeah, I you know, thank you for that. That is crucial. I think that's going to be a very good avenue for us to approach. When I was working in law enforcement and I'd show up to an individual who was suicidal, I would have that background to be able to kind of talk them back into it. But then I'd always ask them, can I refer you to some services, which then I would, you know, get the veteran service officer in our county involved as well. So I think that's a huge part to help curb this, because I believe my actions stopped some people, in which they actually came back to me and said, if you didn't help me get these services, I wouldn't be here today. So just having that connection is crucial for us to be able to get these guys as quick as we possibly can. And there are a lot of people out there that are struggling, but the first people that kind of know about this is our, you know, hospitals, our first responders, and then our local law enforcement. So this would be a crucial connection for you guys to make. Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. I was just going to add too, through our navigator program, we're in the process of hiring our navigators. They'll be working with our non-VA healthcare systems. As you've seen on the slide deck, we'll be working with 7 healthcare systems throughout the state, 3 of them being major healthcare systems, 3 of them being critical access, and 1 being federal. And we also are looking at them as that connection pathway to those that are justice involved as well.
Representative Duran.
All right. I'd be willing to work with you on that, especially on the public aspect of things, that we can find that connection and maybe an alert that we can, you know, maybe send to our county CBSOs so we can start getting the process started for some of this stuff. I think it's just a crucial thing we need to do. So.
Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am pretty excited about the concept of this program that we're building out. I think we should have done it 7 years ago when we first started this, but the concept that we're building an infrastructure, you know, we're not asking you to carry the load on your own. We're asking you to get these silos, because there are so many different programs out there for veterans, for soldiers, for people currently deployed overseas, and they are desperate to help.
There are so many organizations in this state that say, please ask us, but they need to know about it. And having you and your team available building this infrastructure to flatten the line out to say, hey, this person, you know, you get a flag off. Someone, you know, local law enforcement identifies an individual who's in a crisis. Now we know exactly who to call next. The next person in line who is desperate to help that individual. That's what this is. I think that's what I'm getting from the plan, the report that you've got, is that you're not looking to solve this on your own. The plan for MDVA is to streamline this, to build a road path, to build a way in which every single service member, every veteran, every individual who finds themselves in crisis has the ability to be identified, and then these organizations give them a big hug and figure out how to help. And they're desperate to it. You know, when I was overseas last year, there were dozens and dozens of organizations that were just screaming to help me, to help my family. We loved all the support we received from my local organizations, but also across the country. So they're there. We need to know, because, you know, personally, every year the Army gives me a brief and they give me a little ACE card, and then that's one organization that I can call. But are there other organizations? I know there's one in my hometown, because they came up to my wife and they said, we're here to help you and your family while your husband's gone, and they gave us contact information. But those are the only ones that I knew of, because that the silos. And so as soon as we start cross-talking with these silos, that's where I think we're going to see some significant results, because as your report shows, from 2015 until 2025, there was almost no change in the amount of suicides in this state for veterans, and that's a real problem. So I commend you on what you're doing. I think that building out this infrastructure is a really good thing. Getting some strategic direction, as per some of the comments that were in there, saying we want direction. These organizations want direction. They want to know how to help. I think that's where you're the general in this, and there are a lot of soldiers underneath you who want to help out. But remember, you're not the only one. So, you know, said lack of resources, there's only three of you, there's not. There are thousands of you. You just need to connect them. So thank you so much. Thank you for this. Thank you for what you're doing, and let us know how we can participate as well.
Ms. Johnson, do you want to comment on that?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for that. Definitely appreciate it. And that's one of our biggest things with our collaborative work that we're doing, is how can we really convene and get everybody to the table, because exactly what you said, you don't know what you don't know. And so we have been doing a road trip over the last few months of visiting with different organizations and encouraging them to come to our collaborative meetings as we grow this out, because we do want to give them space to be able to present and let everybody know what they offer and how they can help support the work and the missions that they're doing as well. So thank you so much for that.
Mr. Kelly, do you want to comment?
Thank you, Chair and members. For the record, John Kelly, Director of Government Affairs for MDVA. I just want to, you know, kind of follow on from Vice Chair Olson's comments. So in the report, we put studies in the field with the funding that we received through our partner at Wilder Foundation, to hear from veterans, from family members, from the organizations that are doing this work. And one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we received is they look to MDVA as the convener, as the kind of support organizer, kind of, like you said, the field general on this. And we're leaning into that, and that plan reflects that. I'll also note there's, you know, various things that we're doing to try to chip away at this as well. So through the Commissioner Lindsay's efforts with the Commissioner of Administration, we're going to be using some of the funds from the appropriation to have the Veterans Crisis Line sticker that's on all of our vehicles at the department. Offered to all state fleet vehicles. So you could see it on a snowplow, you could see it on anything, you know, any kind of our vehicles, any little piece, if one veteran can see that number, call it. So we're leaning into that. We're doing a data-driven process. Rachel's building out the team, trying to coordinate across rural Minnesota. And, you know, we didn't want to come in with a report that is, here it is, we did our job, and now we're done. This is a living, breathing document, and we anticipate coming back over the course of following sessions to continue to update the legislature and update the plan as we see what we're seeing, what works, what doesn't. So we do really want to say thank you for the directive and for the additional funding and for the efforts of the legislature here, and we'll be back to to report on this in coming sessions.
Are there any more questions? I did want to just, I'd taken some notes, and thank you, Representative Olds, you kind of covered it. I wanted to make sure that you didn't just focus on government programs and other government agencies, that you're out there working with the private organizations, the nonprofits, the churches, the law enforcement, and that type of stuff. So I'm glad to hear that that's part of it. All right, I think we're done with you. Thank you very much for this report. It looks like a good plan.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. State your name for the record, please.
I'm Tim Engstrom. I'm the communications director for the Minnesota American Legion. I just want to point out that the American Legion has a suicide prevention app called Be the One app. If you, as a veteran, are struggling, you can use the app, or if you're talking to a veteran, you also can use the app, and I have been in that situation. But that's not really what I'm pointing out. I'm pointing out that the MDVA has been working with the American Legion about getting Minnesota-specific resources onto this national app that we have, and now the whole organization is trying to change the app so it can be local specific throughout the whole country for South Carolina, Florida, whatever state you're in. So this is an example of the work that the MDVA is working with non-government agencies already, as well as inviting us to their conferences and having us speak at their veteran gatherings. So, I just wanted to provide an example of what you were talking about.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions or comments from the – oh, I'm sorry. Representative Feist has a question.
Yeah, could you repeat what that was called? Is it Be the One?
Be the One to okay. Save One.
Great.
So thank it's you. The Be the One app, and you can download it on Apple or Android.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Kelly, Ms. Johnson, any further comments? All right. Thank you. The next meeting of the House Veterans and Military Affairs Division will be Wednesday, March 18th, 2026 at 8:15 a.m. Co-Chair Zhang will have the gavel. There being no further business before the division today, this meeting is adjourned. Mm-hmm.